Living by faith and walking in God's Spirit. That's our subject today on Chapter and Verse. Let's begin with this from Mike McIntosh.
So today you have opportunity. And if you're carnally minded, you're going to think about all the benefits of you choosing what will best bless you. But if you're spiritually minded, you will make a choice that means you're going to have to die to yourself somewhere and give something up that your flesh really hangs on to, and then follow the Lord. Live by faith.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Join us today for Chapter and Verse Radio with pastor and author Mike McIntosh. We're continuing our verse-by-verse series in the New Testament and the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. Let's remember, by the time Paul wrote this letter, the gospel had been preached in the Roman world for a quarter of a century. In this pagan environment, it's inevitable that some huge questions would have arisen. Paul addressed these issues and answered them with precision and grace. In these grand passages, Paul traverses the Old Testament and harmonizes the work of Jesus on the cross with the needs of every man's heart. Listen today as Mike points out that it is now possible for believers to walk in the Spirit and fully enjoy the benefits of the new life that Jesus provides. And now, here's Mike to resume our studies of the book of Romans.
God sets before us a choice in everything. This is going to bless and prosper, multiply you, your wife, your children, your husband. It's going to just bless you. It's going to take a little longer. But over here, that's a shortcut, and it's going to curse you. You're going to die. You get to make the decisions, and you have an advocate with the Father, so you can, through intercessory prayer, pray for others and they for you. But you have an accuser of the brethren that is daily accusing you before God. He knows all the reports. He can't be in all places at one time. He has demons everywhere. They have photographs. They have recordings. They know everything about you. And they have a game plan given to them by their boss. And those demons just work on us and pound on us and chip away at us. And we don't even know that the bottom's coming out. They're just slowly pulling the rug out from underneath us till we flop and we're down on the ground. Now we have no hope. You see, with propaganda machines, they want to take hope out of a society so that they'll see the enemy as a savior. Hope and change. Those two things. If your hope is taken away, the change that comes is the change of an enemy. But if hope is built up to a people or a village, they have so much hope, it releases faith, and God can bless them and minister through them. And never would another government or person be the Savior, but that hope would point to God, who is our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if there's an enemy of our country, one of the psychological warfare games that is being played is the word hope and change being big and then not getting any hope, but a lot of loose change. You understand what I'm saying? I tell you about this red-tailed hawk, he just out of nowhere, and he came around right by my shoulders, then straight up. He was taking pictures the whole way. But if your heart turns away, God says, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this very moment, just like I'm telling you, I want to bless you this morning, that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth. Would you underline that, please? I call heaven and earth as witnesses. You need two or more, and he's got two. All of heaven and all of earth. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Now, I just got through taking a college exam, and I like that professor because he gave us all a sheet and he said, if you'll just study these words and these concepts, you'll be able to pass the test without any problem. And that's what God's doing here. I have a witness. It's heaven and earth. I've set before you life and death. And I've put before you blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. He gives you the answer to the quiz. Choose life. You want to live. You want to be happy. You don't want to be depressed, and you don't want to be down. You don't want to be angry. You don't want to be mad. You don't want to be bitter. You don't want to be frustrated. You want to be happy, full of life and joy abundantly. For Jesus said, I have come to bring them life and life more abundantly. You want to bubble over like an artesian well, not one that's been dug through hard labor, but just bubbles up within you because God's Spirit lives within you. I've set before you heaven and earth. I've called heaven and earth before you to lay before you blessings and life or cursing and death. Therefore, you choose that both you and your descendants may live. You choose life. If he had just said you choose, many of us wouldn't make the right decision. So he says the answer for us, choose life, and here's what's going to happen. You and your offspring, your other generations, your descendants will live. My great-grandmother Lane chose life in Ireland. And they were very, very poor. And they immigrated to the United States in Oregon. And then my father, Scottish great-grandfather, immigrated to the United States into Oregon from Scotland. And so my father is Scotch, my mother is Irish, so they're Scotch and Irish, and I was a little soda. And life came. I got my opportunity to live my life. On one side, from Scotland, alcoholism followed those people to Portland, Oregon. On the other side, spirituality and the Bible and Jesus and prayer came. And that side, the descendants, I'm the descendant of a godly great-grandmother and grandfather, and their child was a minister, David McIntosh, David Lane, married my grandmother, who is an intercessor prayer warrior, and I'm the fruit of her prayers. So my descendants, I'm trying the best I can to be a godly man, that at least they will see I live what I believe. And that's the only chance I'll get, other than loving them and the little guys, you know, on top of their head with my knuckles and tickling them, and is to always remind them about Jesus. And to never walk away from Jesus. Always ask Jesus to help you when you take a test at school. Talk to the Lord when people are being mean to you or bullying you. God wants to be in all of your lives and make it so simple that as they grow, he's in their heart. So God gives a witness and he tells you the answer. And the reason is, in verse 20, that you may love the Lord your God and that you may obey his voice. And that you may cling to him. Remember the woman that grabbed a hold of his robe and wouldn't let go? And she was healed. And Jesus said, who touched me? Your God, that you may obey his voice and that you may cling to him. For he is your life. For he is your life. He is not a religion. It's a person. God's your life. And the length of your days. So he's filling my days from the time I was a toddler till I go to heaven. He's filling my days that you may dwell in the land, this promised land that God has, which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. You see, the promises he gives to us. We don't work for them. He gives to us. The will and testament is going to be read. And now you're sitting here waiting to see, what did your father give to you? So as we finish here, the 8th chapter of Romans, let us take a quick look here before we go home at the blessings that you have inherited. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your body, you're going to live. For as many as are led, not driven, for as many as are led, we should never be driven to go do something for God. We should be led by God to go. And when you are where God wants you to be, the blessings are amazing. I can remember a festival de vida we did in a town in Mexico, and about 3 or 4 months before the event happened, we'd been working a year and a half on it or so. We had a dinner for the government officials and for the church leaders that helped organize this, and all the business people. And it was at a nice hotel, and Maria del Sol got up and sang, and then I got up to speak. But on my right was the mayor, and on my left was the governor's wife. The governor's wife was in her 20s. She was very young. The mayor had a daddy who was the previous governor of that state, and he was sick in the hospital and couldn't make it. In fact, he died while the festival was there, and God put me in the right place at the right time to be at that funeral service. And after we finished, before that funeral service, 4 or 5 days before at the dinner, she finished the dinner, dessert, kissed me on the cheek, and said, "I heard God's word speak to me. You can have anything you want in this city." I said, "Wow." The governor's wife leaned over and said, "I heard God speak to me. Could you speak to my husband, who is the governor, and he's an alcoholic?" I said, "Wow." Doors just flung open. And they absolutely did. They went way overboard to allow our team to minister to the entire city, for as many as are led. I don't want to push for something and then come to you and say, "Well, here's what we're doing, but we don't have the money to do it, so you've got to give it." Well, no, you don't have to give it. We're led by the Spirit, then God's going to provide. When God guides, God provides. So we learn by that, by our mistakes. And since God is a God of mercy and His mercy endures forever, we learn about mercy when we come with our broken hearts to God. So He says in closing, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again." No, I'm not in bondage. Are you? Nope. "Bondage to fear. I fear nothing but God. But you received," it was given to you. You didn't go out and earn it. "You received the spirit of adoption. Now you're adopted, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." And that word Abba is not a Swedish music group. A-B-B-A. That is a word that is so unique. And those of you who are going to Israel, you will hear this word on the streets and markets. You're going to hear it all over with little children. But I was there with a tour group one time, sitting by the swimming pool of the hotel, and I just wanted to rest. The jet lag had me, so I wanted to be fresh before the 150 people showed up. So I was sitting there, and I was reading, and all of a sudden I put my book down and said, this is it. So quiet. "Abba! Abba, Abba, Abba!" "What?" "Oh, no, there's a family next here with this little Abba girl. Come on." She's just screaming so shrill. No wonder her hair is so curly. So I said, "Oh, geez, okay." So daddy got in the pool and was going to show her safety in the pool. So he takes her and she goes across the pool and she's going, "Abba, Abba, Abba, Abba." And she just freaked out, and he stops and says, he talks to her very calmly, takes her to the other side of the pool, brings her all the way back and says, "See, you did it. You did it. Now you need to just do it by yourself." And all the way across, it was like a splitting headache. "Abba, Abba, 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 Abba." He said, "Keep paddling." She'd paddle. "Abba, Abba, 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 Abba." And then she got to the other side and said, "Oh, here we go. Another screaming exercise of patience and faith." And she comes the other way and she's, "Abba, Abba, 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 Abba." And she's halfway and she's doing it and she doesn't say a word. Abba literally means, in their language, daddy. "Daddy, daddy, daddy, I'm so scared of the water. Daddy, 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 I'm going to drown. Daddy, 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 stay with me. Daddy, daddy, don't let go of me. Daddy, daddy, I can't go back by myself. Daddy, daddy, dad." Never mind, old dude, I got it. Right? Just her intonation and how she took the word up, calling on her dad for help, showed that she thought she really needed help. But when her daddy is holding on to her, and she's holding on to daddy, that's all the help you need. The problem is that many times we get away from daddy and we get ourselves in the middle of a storm and the water's going to overwhelm us and we're all of a sudden now crying out, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." when he could take us walking across the water, but we never give him that opportunity because we don't have the hope that will change things, that I will have faith, that I can now walk on water. But when you get to the place that he says in this verse, you didn't receive the spirit of adoption again. You're not going back into the Jewish religions that bring fear to you, but you receive the adoption by whom we cry out, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Father, but even more intimately, and it's not disrespectful, Daddy. Daddy. So free in the heart. Daddy. And it's not like all of a sudden you can tell the people that don't pray is because when they're in a position that they have to pray at the dinner table or in front of a large audience, they get these big, huge prayers, you know, boom, bombastic and just, oh. But if you're in a conversation with somebody, you don't, you'd look at your friend and say, you're nuts. You're completely nuts. We were just talking. What's up? Now all of a sudden you're trying to impress the people around you that you talk to me? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes that shows you that people aren't praying because if they're regular prayers, it's conversation. And so you and I have been adopted. We can now cry out that the will and testament is the Father has us free. The Spirit will bear witness with our spirit. Yes, you are God's children and he is your daddy. And if we are children, then we are heirs. We are the inheritors, the heirs of God. Later we will see in another study in Romans that everything in the universe, everything everywhere was ultimately created for your good pleasure. But the devil has stolen it from us and he charges us admission to the things that God created for our good pleasure. If we're children, we're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You are the heir. You're joint heirs with Jesus. All that he receives from the Father is yours. You get the blessings that God gave to his only begotten Son. His Son gets the blessings for bringing you home for dinner. And you get all that eternity has laid out for you at no expense to yourself, but to walk by faith and not by sight. Do not forget this statement all week long. God is madly in love with you. He's not mad at you. He's got an inheritance for you. And if you keep ducking him and hiding from him, you'll never get the inheritance and the devil wins. But if you say, okay, open up the inheritance, give it to me, you're never going to be the same woman or the same man. And though we suffer, and our next message will be that, we go through the sufferings so that we can experience the glorification that Jesus did. And the sufferings, God knows that you're able to bear, or he would not let them into your life. You're an heir. You're a joint heir through Jesus Christ to God. Every stitch of galaxy or universe that's out there, every raindrop, every flower bud, every wild creature, every beautiful sunset, they're all yours. It's all yours. And the greatest gift is this power inside of you to love other people. It's one of the greatest honors we have is to share God's love with other people. And when they find that love is trustworthy, worthy of their trust, then the greatest gift you have coming back is the fact that somebody trusts you and they know you will not harm them behind their back or in front of you. That's called a friend. Your family and your friends are the greatest assets you have. And may your descendants beyond you, should the Lord tarry, may your descendants receive the blessings because you took the choice. I'm choosing life. I'm taking the blessings. And may your life be blessed while you are here, waiting upon our Master. Shall we stand and shall we pray? No bondage. Pure adoption. No fees to pay. Abba, Father. Daddy. We love you, Daddy. Our Father and our God, as we bow our hearts before you, we are so very grateful that you have a way of speaking through a time tunnel, that as we look at what St. Paul said in the first century, we can go all the way back to when you were building faith in the Jewish community and leading them to a promised land and using heaven and witness as your collateral or your witnesses that what you're going to say is true, that people have to make a choice to choose life, which will bring blessing, or to choose death, which will bring cursing. And we know that's very, very simple. But we also know that the devil can blind our eyes and he can let us only see one side of the coin. So for all that are on the radio, the internet, the overflow rooms, this gymnasium, Lord, that can hear my voice, I pray for those that have chosen death and the curses of God, that you would forgive them. They weren't well informed. May you forgive them right now, Father. May they receive their inheritance in Christ Jesus as a joint heir to his throne, that we will reign as kings and priests with him. For those people that are listening to this message, would you please have forgiveness and let that yoke of bondage be taken off of them right now, Father. Let them cry out to you and say, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned against you. And I want life. And I want your blessings. And I want Jesus to take control of my life. And then, Lord, may you flood our hearts with your love. Like a river, it could flow through us to bring life to San Diego and to America. That we're willing to pray and intercede, that the blessings that have been robbed from the people of our great country, we're not really even wanting those that would be super to have, but we're wanting salvation for our country. We want the mockers and the scoffers off the streets. We want those that love you to be lifted up as a bright light. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Fill us with your blessings and the inheritance of all God's people. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, did you make a decision that you don't want to live the life you're living that is cursed, it seems like? There's nothing good that's growing in your life. It's always one hassle after another. And have you decided to make a choice for the blessings and to receive God's life through Jesus? And if that is your desire, that's his desire. He already told the answer, choose life that you may live. Is that you? And if it is, while others are praying, would you look up at me and raise your hand that I could see you? I'd like to remember you in prayer. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Straight through the middle, two of you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Lord, you've seen these hands. What's even greater is you know the hearts. These men and women want your blessings, and you said they could have it. They've chosen life. They want to receive it. Father, be true to your word and bring life into these lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh closing our studies for the day concerning a fascinating passage of Scripture discussing as God's children live by the Spirit. On the next broadcast of Chapter and Verse, we'll continue our studies through Romans and ask the question, have you considered the suffering? That's coming up next time on CNV. Well, how exciting it is when someone takes that step of faith and commits their life to Christ. Perhaps after listening to this study, you want to make that same commitment. Or you may have made that decision many years ago and now realize you need to come back. Let me take a moment and invite you to visit our website. Our address on the World Wide Web is MikeMacintosh.com. Once you're on the homepage, look for the Know God link, where you'll find the simplicity of the gospel clearly explained. There's also a section about getting a fresh start with God, along with suggestions for further study. This is also the website that you can use to listen to nearly the entire Bible taught by Pastor Mike. Again, check in at MikeMacintosh.com. Be sure to join us next time for the message, Have You Considered the Suffering? From Romans chapter 8 with Mike McIntosh on CNV. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.